Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald Face Truth.
It's a real highlight during the college football season. Once a week, Isaiah Hodgins joined us, Oregon State wide receiver, and in some small way, when he would have a big game, which was just about every game, I would go, that's BFT karma right there. Got it. You don't mess with a streak. Then the football season ended, and Isaiah Hodgins went off into his real life. He's married. He's got a family. He's got things to do. He's preparing for an NFL draft. But he has not forgotten this radio show or the audience or all the Oregon State fans out there who cheered for him, because he's coming back on right now. And he's joining us now. Where are you right now, Isaiah Hodgins?
I'm in my room, my house, back with my parents.
How much did they change your room when you went away to college?
Well, I actually never lived in this house. They moved here right when I got to college, so my brother lived here, but I never actually lived here, so I'm kind of just like a visiting guest.
So you don't have like the old posters on the wall that you had when you were like 13?
Yeah, nah. I got a bunch of posters of my dad and stuff. So,
what was on your wall as a kid?
I used to hang up a bunch of stuff. I used to hang up posters of my parents. I mean, my dad. Pictures of me playing football. I had like players that I like Kobe Bryant and wide receivers like Calvin Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald and stuff. Like, my room was a sports room, man. I had everything in there.
Kobe, that happened, then coronavirus happened. 2020's been a drag.
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy so far.
What'd you make of the Kobe thing when that all went down? How unbelievable was that, and what did it make you think about?
I truly, like, didn't even think it was real when it first happened. Like, I think I saw, like, a tweet about it and thought it was, like, a prank, and then, you know, day started going on and it really became real, and I was just like shocked, and it really made me realize, like, you know, how short like someone's time could be here, and like, you know, just cherish the little things in life, like your family, friends, and, you know, just not taking life for granted because it could go away at any time.
How are you doing with the social distancing? How weird is that?
It's hard, man, not being able to do it everyday things, like, you know, going to train in a big gym with a lot of people and, I don't know, just eating in restaurants or whatever. Like, you know, it's pretty crazy.
What are you doing, or what habit have you formed that you maybe never did before and now you find yourself doing every day? Because I'm doing this radio show from the home studio, and it was weird at first, and now it feels very comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to stick to, like, a decent routine still for training for the draft. So, you know, my dad got a lot of weights and stuff in the garage, so I've been trying to work out, like, every morning here. And, you know, we got a backyard, so trying to do some little, like, ladders and, like, field stuff. And then besides that, you know, I'm either playing a bunch of video games still, or I've been really on tune with Netflix lately. And, just trying to stay up to date.
What are you watching on Netflix?
I'm about to start Ozark because I just finished Money Heist. Money Heist is really good. I love Money Heist. And then, surprisingly, my wife has never seen the Hangover movies, and those are on Netflix. So, yeah, I rewatched a couple of those for her. And now I think I'm going to start back on for the new season of Ozark.
Yeah, good season. I thought the first episode of Ozark in this season was a little slow, but get through it because there's stuff ahead. I just started Money Heist, and Sabrina Ionescu at Oregon is the one who said, got to watch Money Heist, and my wife and I are watching Money Heist now.
Man, I breeze through Money Heist. Like, I think I watched it in like two or three nights. Like, I love that show.
What did you love about it?
It's just like, it's my two favorite shows, to be honest, is that one and Blacklist. And it's just because, like, every time you think that you got to figure it out and, like, you could predict it, like, something different happens. And then it just, like, keeps you on your toes the whole time. And, you know, it's, I just finished watching All American, too, the football one.
All right. I got another one for you. There's The Americans. You can watch that with your wife. It's about Russian spies in the United States, and you find yourself rooting for the Soviets and the Russians, you know, instead of the Americans. But it's called The Americans. Yeah. They're playing like they're a regular American couple, but they're really spies for the Soviet Union living in the U.S. That's a good one for you. And then, and you're on Ozark. I mean, that's a gimme. You've got the draft. You are a guy who catches everything. You've got great length. I've seen enough of Isaiah Hodgins to know how you translate to the NFL. You're big, you're physical.
Yeah.
You're going to be a good player. Somebody's going to get a steal on you because I'm looking and I'm saying, like, I think you're a guy who's going to stick and play in the league a long time. Like, how do you handle the nitpicking and criticism? Because it happens to all you guys when you get ready for the draft.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take it with a grain of salt and know that at the end of the day, all these guys who are analyzing you and, you know, throwing on Twitter about how good or bad you are aren't the ones who are coaching you and aren't the ones who make any decisions when it comes to you getting drafted or playing time or anything. So, you know, you just have to kind of really focus on the teams that you're talking to and what the coaches are saying and what they think you can work on or how they like you, because if they love you but analysts hate you, it doesn't really matter what the analysts say because your coaches love you and you're going to play. And, you know, I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of hype for some players going into the draft, and a lot of people just like the guy who runs a 4.3 or, you know, can jump this high, but at the end of the day, you got to be able to play football. You got to be able to run routes, be smart, be coachable, and be a technician, which I think I'm all of those things. So, as you said, I think I'll be fine at the next level.
I read stuff and I laugh because I know, and I've covered the NFL, and I understand, like, you know, when Jerry Rice came out of Mississippi Valley State, he wasn't a 4.3 guy, right? He was a guy who caught everything and worked hard, and he had good size and good length, and he ran great routes, and I look at that, and I read these guys who are, you know, writing the draft stuff, and there's stuff being said about Justin Herbert I disagree with, there's stuff being said about you I disagree with, and I'm going, these guys never watched these players play. What's the worst thing? What's the most disappointing thing you've seen written about Isaiah Hodgins?
That's a tough one. I mean, I've seen a lot out there, but, you know, I've seen stuff as far as people saying that I'm not a good route runner at all, and I can't create any separation, which, I mean, I felt like if I couldn't create any separation, it'd be kind of hard to catch for 1,200 yards almost in a year. Yeah. But, I mean, they say no separation. They say pretty much the only good thing about my game is my hands. But, I mean, the separation is a big one. The speed is a big one. And the lack of route running ability, which, I mean, I feel like I pride myself on that and really technical with route running and releases and everything. But, you know, it's different from, you know, just watching a TV copy of a game of, instead of actually maybe being there, or, you know, watching the X's copy of it and really breaking down the film and seeing, you know, the concept to play and the route, like what I was supposed to do, like how I did it, and finding the technique of stuff, which coaches will find and coaches will see. So you just kind of have to tune out some of the analysts.
We're talking to Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State wide receiver. You know, I think you're probably going to be a top 8 or 7 guy among wide receivers. But that's where you'll end up. But I think you are a top 4 guy when I look at wide receivers in the draft. If you are a guy who doesn't go where you expect to go in this draft, will there be a chip on your shoulder heading into the NFL?
Yeah. I definitely think so. And, you know, I'm not too worried about it because, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with my dad, and, you know, me and him have said the same thing. You know, I mean, we both think in our eyes that, hey, like, if you're not a second or third round pick or something, like, people are sleeping on you. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, God knows what locker room he wants me in. He's going to put me on the perfect team for me. And, you know, whether that's the first round or the sixth round, I got to go in there with a chip on my shoulder, and I got to go in there ready to take someone's spot. Because, you know, even if you're a second rounder, you still have to make the team. Like, you still have to go earn a spot. You still have to be a starter. So, you know, I'm going to go out there and, you know, just ball out and play my hardest, be coachable, try to be a good leader for the team, and just go earn that spot. And I'm going to prove a lot of people wrong. So I'm excited for that.
Isaiah Hodgins with us. What kind of, you know, you look back at Oregon State, and I know you're focused on the NFL, but there are a lot of Oregon State fans going, all right, where's this program headed? How good are they going to be? You know, sell the listeners on, you know, Oregon State football moving forward. What did you see last year that told you that Jonathan Smith's got this thing going?
I mean, I really just saw the improvement throughout the year. I mean, we started the year kind of rough in a couple games that we should have won that, you know, me and you have talked about before, like probably yeah. Hawaii and Stanford and stuff that, you know, sucked. And then you saw kind of mid towards the end of the year, games exactly like that, we started to win when teams started to come back and we actually, you know, kept pushing, like Arizona or Cal and stuff like that. And, you know, when we had a backstop against the wall and we kept improving. So I think that constant improvement throughout the year really helped the team. And I felt like that's when I really realized, like, Coach Smith is really getting through to us. Like, you know, people are starting to buy into the program. Like, we're starting to win games. Like, people are starting to recognize this. And I feel like another year with that, and now, you know, he got a contract extension, and you got some players there, and you got some professional All-Americans coming back, and All-Americans like Cam McCarr coming back. And, you know, I feel like, you know, the team's ready to make some big moves this year. So I'm excited for that.
Isaiah, you know, you mentioned your dad. I think it's incredibly valuable to have somebody who's been in the league. You know that where you end up is a more interesting or more important thing than maybe when you're drafted. What kind of team do you need to be with? What style fits you?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, me and my dad talk about that all the time, that, you know, God willing, you end up with the perfect team, not the perfect round, because as you said, you go to the first round, but not go to the most ideal team. And, you know, we've seen over the years that it kind of ruined a lot of people's careers. So, you know, we're hoping for that perfect team. But, I mean, we're, you know, anytime you're a rookie wide receiver, you're hoping for a veteran quarterback. I mean, like a system and culture that's kind of proved itself, you know, over the years, that even if they have a down year, you know, they're a good franchise and they know how to bounce back, you know, just like the Niners. Like my dad always said that he wasn't worried about the Niners because, you know, they had a bad year 2 years ago, but he knew that they were a good franchise. Like they had good background history, coaches and all that. So, you know, he knew they were going to bounce back. And then this past year, they went to the Super Bowl. So, you know, kind of just teams like that, you know, good organizations, good people, and, you know, something that's going to help me develop as a player and a man.
They've got 7 picks in this draft, and as a guy who grew up a Niner fan, I am also watching them going, gosh, they could use a wide receiver. They could have used you. They could have used you last year. You can't afford to be a fan anymore, though, but is there some part of Isaiah Hodgins as a young kid that, you know, you look at the NFL team you rooted for? Can you see yourself in that jersey someday?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as you said, it's hard kind of trying to tap out of that fan mode because, you know, I'm so used to being in college and playing with you guys in Madden and, you know, being a fan and watching the Sunday games from my college. And now it's going to be like, oh, the guys I'm playing with Madden, like I'm lining up against at practice or like in the preseason or games or whatever. So now I have to kind of change my mindset to, you know, like, oh, these are my rivals. Like I have to prepare and watch film on them or, you know, like, My favorite team growing up was always the Cardinals. And, like, you know, one day I either might play for or play against the Cardinals. And, you know, like, I have to, like, you know, it's crazy. So it's definitely a blessing, and I'm thankful to be here.
Yeah, and, you know, you'll either be on the field with guys that you rooted for or that, you know, when you were playing Madden, you saw them, and there's a possibility you could be out there with Larry Fitzgerald, like, you know, at practice. And it's that's surreal. I mean, you've thought about this for much of your life. It's this close now. Yeah. How does that feel to have it this close?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like kind of before I was trying to kind of tune it out, and with the whole virus going around, I was trying to keep my head down and still work hard. And, you know, I'm still working hard and everything. But as you get closer, it's just starting to get more real, as in, like, dang, like in 10 days, like, you know, the draft's happening and, you know, I got my team and I could go out there and, like, you know, I'm going to have to move out to that state and, like, really, you know, like, get a house with my wife or, you know, like, soon to be kid coming in September. And, yeah, just preparing against all those different players. Like, it's so crazy and surreal. You know, I start thinking more and more about it every night and start, you know, just doing random research of teams and players and everything because, you know, I'm a football junkie. So, yep. You know, I just fell in love with the process and it's crazy.
And I also think, too, that, like, you could spin yourself in a circle, right? I mean, you could sit here and go, and ultimately it's in God's hands and you've got deep faith. And how about your wife? Is there an area of the country she would prefer to live in, or is she saying, hey, where we end up, that's where we're supposed to be?
Yeah, she's a little bit more on the bougie side, and so she's trying to get, you know, a hot state, or, you know, she wants to go lay out in tan and do all that. So she's praying for either somewhere with a dome or somewhere hot, because she always used to get mad at me and, oh, I have to go to all your games and sit through the rain, and
yeah.
You don't know what it's like to sit through 3-hour games just in the stands and this and that in the rain. So, you know, I'm hoping that we can at least get her a dome or, like, you know, a hot state or something like that. But, you know, if it ends up being somewhere cold, she's just going to have to deal with it. I might have to get her, like, box seats every once in a while or something. But
I think you'll be able to afford it. You know, I think at that point you can say, look, there's some benefits. Even if we're in Green Bay, there's some benefits here. You can be in the box. You know, that's and you mentioned baby coming. You were one of the few guys that in college, you were married in college. And now you got a baby coming September. This is a lot. Like, you know, NFL, baby, fatherhood, you'll probably be moving into a new house. Yeah. I mean, those are all the big stresses of life.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, I put all that weight on my own shoulders. So, you know, I can't be one to sit here and complain about it and play the woe is me game. And I have a lot on my plate because, you know, I chose all this. So, you know, it's a life I chose and I'm blessed for. I'm thankful. You know, it's definitely going to be hard, but we got a good support system. You know, my parents, you know, are super excited for the grandkid and, you know, can't wait to help watch and take care of. And, you know, her side of the family is the same way and real supportive and real nice. So, I mean, I feel like we're ready for it. And it's going to be a little hard, you know, being due in September. That would usually be like the very beginning of the season. So, you know, there's probably going to be some long weeks and days and nights for me. So, yeah, it's going to be a little different, but, you know, I'm adapt to it like I always do and just continue to, you know, do what I do and play football.
I'm not worried about Isaiah Hodgins. I think you're going to be successful wherever you go. I think you'll go to a team that wants you there. I've seen you perform over and over again and, you know, separation, all this other stuff. I watched Isaiah Hodgins get separation and catch everything. And I think, you know, among the receivers in the draft, I think you had fewer drops than anybody. I like your speed. Yeah. If you were running a 4.8 or 4.9, I might be worried about you, but you're running Jerry Rice speed. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about you.
Yeah.
You got good football speed and you're a good football player. And you know that God's never going to give you more than you can handle.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah?
Yeah, definitely. I've always lived by that. And, you know, I can't agree with you more and I appreciate that.
Before I let you go, the draft's going to happen here, and, you know, it's going to be the coaches and teams will be drafting from their houses. It's going to be a little different. There's no Las Vegas green room or all that. Will you watch the early rounds of the draft as a fan, or is it better if you go do something else and then just wait for the phone to ring? What will you do?
I mean, I feel like I'm going to watch all the rounds just because, you know, training at Exos in Arizona and going to the combine, I made a lot of good friends and good relationships and stuff. And, you know, I know some people who, you know, might be getting drafted in that first round or earlier, you know, like early second round. So, you know, I'm going to be definitely watching just to support and cheer them on and, you know, maybe send them a text when I see their name pop up and, you know, just kind of be that football junkie and player to see, you know, what team's getting what and who's getting who and, you know, kind of prepare myself for what I think I might go.
I appreciate you making time for us. You always have. It's always fun to have you on, and I will definitely let your mom know that when the podcast is up, because I know she'll be waiting for it. So there you go.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Good luck to you.
Super excited for that.
Good luck, and congrats, and tell your wife congratulations, and we look forward to good news in September as well.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
All right. Isaiah Hodgins, Oregon State's wide receiver. Currently, they are projecting Isaiah to be about the seventh or eighth or ninth or tenth receiver picked. I'm looking at, you know, and look, I think I can be objective with this. I've covered the NFL. I know what kind of player he is. I also know that general managers in the NFL will use the combine. They'll use 40 times. They'll use all this stuff to justify their draft picks. This guy can play football. He's a good player. He's got good speed. He's got great NFL size. He doesn't drop anything. I think he had fewer drops than any of the wide receivers that are projected to go in this draft. I think he's going to be a steal for somebody, and I say that because I don't think he's going to go in the first, second, or third round. So I think somebody is going to steal him. Judah, I know you're a Seahawks fan. You know I'm a Niners fan. I'd like to see Isaiah Hodgins in a Niners uniform. I think he's exactly what they need. Do the Seahawks need a receiver who's big and can catch everything?
Yeah, man. Who doesn't need a receiver like Isaiah Hodgins? I mean, Seattle's got DK Metcalf. Obviously, you don't get much bigger than a guy like that, and he has great hands. But they obviously, the annual conversation with the Seahawks is, can they also get another tall, able-bodied pass catcher? You know, Jimmy Graham was a disappointment, but you're right. Isaiah Hodgins, he doesn't need the separation to catch everything. He caught so many contested balls last year. It was incredible. And that Wazoo game, that's all that was contested catch after contested catch. He is so gifted. He'll be fine anywhere he goes.
I also think he fits the NFL game in some ways better than I think he fits the college game, where you get a lot of man coverage on the goal line, and you're going to get an opportunity to have a big receiver who's down there, big and physical. That is a mismatch. It's part of why I think in Jonathan Smith's system, he had 13 touchdown receptions last year, better than one a game at Oregon State. I think in the NFL, I do think he's a guy who's going to go like fourth, fifth round, and I think somebody is going to walk away with a steal because I think he's a better player than that. All right, leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth statewide. Really good show today. Danny Tarkanian was with us in the 12 o'clock hour, son of Jerry Tarkanian, talking about his dad, the NCAA, those UNLV teams. If you missed that, grab the podcast. SoundCloud, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, among the places that you can subscribe to the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show podcast. Scott Ruick, Oregon State women's basketball coach, was really good. He's always good. He's smart. We like to talk about everything but college basketball when he comes on. We talked movies. We talked the NFL. He's interested to see what Belichick and Brady are, but he sort of skews towards taking the coach's perspective. He also, Oregon State marketing machine, pointed out that he loves the movie The Greatest Showman. If I'm them, I go Greatest Showman, like for all the marketing. I put him in the under the tent like P.T. Barnum. Come on, Scott Ruick. Isaiah Hodgins was really good. He just joined us. If you missed that, it's absolutely terrific talking about preparing for the NFL draft. These are weird times, strange times for most of us who are living in ways that we've deviated from our normal pattern. We've deviated from the things that we always do. And now we are looking at NFL players who are preparing for a draft later this month that will take place from the living rooms of the NFL executives. It'll be televised, but it's going to be weird times. It's going to be strange to see how quickly this country gets back to work and back on track and gets the economy churning. It's also going to be interesting to see how quickly the sports come back. And that brings us to our two at two. It's the two biggest things going on in the world of sports.
The two at two.
Oregon, California, and the state of Washington, according to the governors in each of those states, are going to work together because they have done a better job than most at flattening the curve. They will work together to try to get sports and the economy back on track. It'll be interesting to see those three states, along with six other states who are currently talking about getting the economy going. It'll be interesting to see those three states sort of act as leaders. I think if you are a college football fan hoping that the season happens, you're not really looking to individual states. You're more looking at the collective body. So I'm sorry that it may be more of a tell to know what's going on nationally by looking at college students to see when they go back to campuses. When do campuses begin classes? Are there going to be summer classes? If students are on campus in summer, college football might very well happen on time. If they're not, most of us believe the college football season will be pushed backward, not canceled, just delayed. In other news, the XFL's parent company has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. That happened today, the first business day after the league suspended operations and laid off almost all employees. The filing listed the NFL assets and liabilities. Seven of the league's eight coaches were listed among the top creditors, by the way. The XFL is blaming the coronavirus pandemic. Quote, the XFL quickly captured the hearts and imaginations of millions of people who love football. Unfortunately, end quote. Vince McMahon, who owned the league, has not spoken publicly about the XFL's demise, but they have suspended operations. Most of the employees are gone, and looks like the NFL is going, or the XFL is going down the tubes. I think a lot of people are going to blame coronavirus for failing. I don't think the XFL was making it anyway. I noticed the Pac-12 in their news release about coronavirus and protocol, their latest news release, they sort of blame that for their lack of revenue. It sort of ignores the larger picture. The Pac-12 was hurting anyway. It's just a convenient excuse in some cases. The XFL pointing to COVID-19 and going, you got us. Sorry. That's your 2 at 2, the two biggest things going on in the world of sports. Judah Newby, you're a football guy. XFL, is it the coronavirus that killed the XFL, or is that an excuse?
You know, there are parts of the XFL I really enjoyed. I thought they were, they showed ingenuity. It was a much better version than the 2001 version of it. It was entertaining. I loved the access. The ideas were really neat. I personally believe that it could have been successful with about four or five consecutive seasons strung together. That being said, there's no way they could come back from this. They weren't at that level of strength. I think it's just unfortunate timing for them. And I would say it's a valid excuse. Yeah, I mean, they weren't perfect, but they were promising.
I think that the sports calendar with the NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, all the Olympic sports, I think it's already a crowded calendar. And while I found myself on one occasion watching an XFL game and going, oh, this isn't awful. I didn't have the appetite for it. And I don't know if it's just that there was other stuff going on. I was busy the start of March and March Madness, and the college basketball conference tournaments were on. And, until it all got canceled, I was not that into it. I also find that if the college season was pushed to the spring, I think in a heartbeat, people would watch the college season. I think it would be a hit in the spring. I just wonder if the market is, it's not an underserved sport. Like football, you get college, we get the NFL. It's not underserved. I think if the only thing going on, it would have survived, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the XFL.
That being said, if it kept gaining steam,
yeah,
Portland would have been a great market for it. I think there would have been fans here for professional football for an XFL team in the spring.
Let's talk to Nick in Seattle, who was at all of the Seattle XFL games, and he's called in. Nick, was this league going to make it or not?
All two games, John. I was at them all. that one lone win. I saw it. I saw half of it, I think. Yeah, here's the thing. Judah beat me to the point. Absolutely, it would do great in a market like Portland, especially, I remember the days back when I was getting recruited to Portland State. They used to have a pretty awesome stadium, and now it's even better because, they actually draw fans for MLB games. But, I think it would be great in a market like Portland, and some cities really did it right. Being able to play to smaller venues, not Seattle, obviously, but St. Louis was a great market for it. I think where they really went wrong, I think having an L.A. team wasn't the best idea because no one showed up to those games. And I don't know about, you know, the Tampa team, but I feel like in the right markets, man, the XFL really could have made it. And I know at least the Seattle team, I mean, our attendance was shocking to me because I was going in with cheap tickets thinking, hey, you know, probably not going to be many people here. And they filled the lower bowl for the two games. So I was shocked.
There you go. Was it entertaining? Like, you played major college football. And for people who don't know, it's Nick Cody who played at the University of Oregon. Was it entertaining to you, or was it just, hey, at least it's football, there's some football going on, I'll check it out?
Hey, man, they still go to Husky football games up here, so it was more entertaining than that. anyways, go Ducks. Just wanted to say, you know, I'm real sad about it. I was a pretty big Dragons fan. I tried to hop on the bandwagon because just the enthusiasm for just a new team was great. But the fans I really feel for are the St. Louis fans because that team was embraced so much. I watched every game that they played just because it was so much fun to see, you know, St. Louis finally getting football back, and their fans were just crazy. The XFL could have made it. It had a niche, but, you know, it happens, and you know, there's a lot of businesses going through really hard times right now, and, you know, it sucks. But maybe someday, you know, one of these smaller leagues will maintain and stay, but not for now, and it's got to be executed, right?
There you go. Nick Cody calling from Seattle. Appreciate you, Nick. Wish you the best. Stay safe there. All right, coming up, my wife will pop in studio. Also, we will talk a variety of things on this show, including the fact that the state of Oregon has done a really good job, I think better than most, with the social distancing and COVID-19 and flattening the curve. So what is your number one theory on why the state of Oregon has done better than most? What is the number one? Don't give me a variety combination. Tell me what the number one factor is in the state of Oregon doing better than most with limiting or flattening.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.